Welcome to Love Vocals Nation. Today we have a special guest joining us, coming all the way from Rome, Italy. This DJ and producer is known for uplifting the crowds with his unique productions and sound. With an impressive catalog of releases to his name and top labels like Black Hole Recordings, Extrema Global Music, A State of Trance, and more, he is known for hosting the Extrema radio show and has massive performance at major trance events worldwide. He has left an incredible mark on the trance music industry. We are super excited to dive into his musical journey. Please give a warm welcome to Manuel Lissau.
Woo!
Hello, beautiful ladies.
Hello. How are you doing today, Manuel?
I'm good. What about you?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. We're super happy to have you here. How has your summer been so far?
Hot.
Hot. How hot?
Oh, I'm almost 35 degrees.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been there too. It's crazy.
We have not been there in Ireland.
Lucky you.
We have 17 at the moment, but in Ireland, like 17 feels like 25. So everybody's walking around in t-shirts and shorts, you know.
Do they not have a little hanky on their head with the kind of like, you know, knots tied in it as well?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Manuel, I want to kickstart by saying I read today that you started your career age 13. Is that the case?
I started the career in the early 19. Was actually, 89. I started watching the other DJs playing. At that time, I was very, very young, and I was lucky that one of my friend and family friend, he was the owner of one of the biggest club here in Rome. Wow. And, you know, I used to go there and the Sunday afternoon where, you know, the kids party. And I was something like, oh my God, I was shocked about the DJ skills and vinyls and everything. I was like, one day I want to do that. And I was lucky that the owner gave me the chance to learn.
Wow,
from good DJs and the resident DJ over there. And I actually, for a couple of years, I did start with only warming up sets and doing the VJ, you know, the visual J, like the lasers and lights and everything. It was good. It was, you know, until the internet era that gave me the chance to go outside Italy and gave me the chance to start traveling and everything. Around 2003, I had actually my first international gigs. It was in kind of Norway, probably. If I 2002, 2003.
Very cool.
Yeah. I'm here.
So rolling back before you hit that moment where you were sort of stunned and inspired by all the vinyl DJing, what was the beginning of your kind of introduction to music? What brought you to getting inspired at these events?
My very first inspiration to music was at very the beginning of school, when they used to teach music here in Italy.
Right.
And when I started, when I studied about, you know, the big one, the one I do call the real producer, the very first producer ever, which is Mozart, for example. Mm. And I started learning all everything about them, the life, the story, the music, of course. Mozart, Beethoven, Bach, Chopin, Vivaldi, which is Italian.
Wow, yeah.
And I started everything about the music. And I started, you know, actually reading the music and actually playing the music.
Wow.
But school,
super cool.
And, you know, not very, I didn't go to the professional school or everything, but everything started there. The love of the music for the melody. The melody was always a huge part of my life. Mm. And that's why, and I don't know if you are going to ask me. That's why I'm.
I love that. I think what I was also thinking was, you said I didn't go to any kind of formal training. I mean, did you learn how to play by ear?
Yes. I'm still okay. Every day for me is a lesson. Every day, I see with my right hand, I can be a super player. With my left hand, I'm still learning. You know,
I love that.
Yeah, nice. About the music, I can read music.
Yeah.
I can write music, and you know.
Wow. So you've established yourself as a prominent figure in the trance music scene, and where you championed that sound of the full-on euphoric trance music. What drew you to this particular style, and what sets it apart from other genres of electronic music?
This is actually what I was expecting, this question, and that's why, because trance music, especially for, you know, the uplifting side, mm-hmm. It's supposed to be all about the melody, mm-hmm. you know, everything which is melodic, which is you know, gives me, you know, sad and happiness at the same time, goosebumps all over.
No, like,
you know, it's what I think, this is actually the real purpose of music, in my opinion. You know, sharing feeling, meaning, something deep and we're happy or sad, it doesn't matter. But, you know, music should be a way to live and a place to lose and find yourself at the same time.
I love that.
So, yeah.
This is what music supposed to be. For me,
absolutely.
It is. But for a lot of people, it's just like, hey, let's go outside and party. Yeah, right. Let's match. Let's go. Yeah. Get drunk. And,
Do you think that's more prevalent for creators to feel that way? Or do you think that's also a lot of people out there listening feel the same way? What do you think?
It depends. For me, it's completely different because music is not my first job. So I'm not doing music for a living.
Right.
So it's kind of, I feel free on the part, on this side of the music, because mm-hmm. I can do whatever I want, whatever I like. I don't have rules. But if you do music for living, for you have to, you know, earn money for
right.
family, for your
got
business.
Yeah.
You do what you have to do.
Yeah.
And I don't complain about it. It's completely understandable. So I'm not judging everything. But in my case, I do what I like the most, and I'm happy I can do that.
So can I ask? I have to ask. What other hat do you wear then that isn't music?
Oh yeah, okay. maybe Linnea knows that already. Probably no, I don't know.
So. I know. I have no idea.
You know, every time I say that, a lot of people say, "Oh, really?" Yes. I'm a biologist. I work in hospital.
Wow, I love it.
Oh, that's right.
That's so cool.
I remember seeing something like during COVID situation that you were in there. Yeah. Wow. Big ups to you. Big respect.
Thank you. But yeah, I still do that. So my, you know, DJ was my first love and job.
Sure.
Yeah.
I was young. So when I was smart and lucky enough to finish the studies, especially smart. Mm-hmm. You know, I, thanks to my dad that he used to work in the hospital already. And I came through.
That's great. Do you like biology? I mean, is it a passion for you as well? Just the understanding the human body.
It's a job. If the good part is, especially in the last 2-3 years, for mm-hmm. you know why, we all know why, no? And I knew actually everything already, and it's nice. I feel Sometimes I see people say, hey, I'm sick, what am I supposed to do? They ask me suggestion to, you know, take pills or everything. And I feel like, yeah, I know I'm almost everything, but, you know, I feel like I can help people.
I can help
people with music. Yeah. We don't know the mental problem, probably when they are sad, when they are depressed. A lot of people, I got a lot of messages in the past and still about, hey, your sets, your music helping me out, going through a very bad moment. So thanks a lot.
That's so cool.
The same way they, you know, heard the same with my, you know, daytime job, the hospital. Yeah. So.
That's good.
Helping people.
I love helping people. It's my thing.
Yeah.
So I really get what you're saying. I hear you. Okay. So you have a huge list of releases, which includes numerous productions and remixes on really big labels, such as Black Hole and State of Trance. How do you approach the creative process when producing a new track? And what elements do you prioritize to create the signature uplifting trance sound?
In the past, you know, I used to make music. You know, when you are young and you want to be, you want to get gigs or getting famous or trying to be the best, no? You know, kid dream, you know, you dream about it, you know, oh, I want to play, for example, in the State of Trance event. Yeah. So what at that time, I used to make music, of course, what I love, but especially because it was like, this track could be good for such label, which could help me out to probably get, you know, visibility, to arrive at some big names and everything. And it did work, actually. But nowadays, of course, I have my own label, Extreme Global Music.
Yes.
And it is actually, it's, one of the reasons why I did open the label, I do only what I like, and I have no more achievement to reach.
Now I hear that.
Just what I do love it. The first question when I start a track is, do people probably will like it or not? It's not like, oh, do the DJ, that DJ is going to play in his show, I don't care anymore. It's all about, you know, I want to share my feeling. You know,
right.
A track is me, is a part of me, right?
Absolutely.
And what I want, the real and only achievement, first of 1,000, 1 million, 3 million Spotify streams, which never happened. But, you know, people has to love it.
Yeah.
And that's it. For the people. Everything is for the people.
Excellent.
So what I hear is that you, like back in the day, you actually, like when you produced your tracks, you thought of a label or like a specific DJ then. So you created that sound so they would be able to pick it up. Is that correct?
Of course, because I didn't have a label. So you had to play by the rules, and the rules want, 138, that kind of arrangement, the kind of sound, the kind of melody. So if you wanted to get your track released, you have to stay by the, you know, you had to play by the rules, not anymore. Probably, yeah.
Well, you were saying a moment ago that you can actually quite thrive on the fact that there's no rules. How was that for you, having to comply at that point then and follow the rules?
I'm not the best person that like follow the rules. No, definitely not. And this is actually why.
You're a rule breaker.
Yeah, no, this is actually why lately I decided to do something, but we will talk that
about. Yeah, no, absolutely. I hear that. I was just curious how that was for you. Okay, I got it.
And I'm curious, so you have, like, you produce a lot of uplifting trance, right? So that's like your signature kind of sound. But back in the days when you kind of wanted to produce a song to fit a specific label or like have a DJ playing it, was there ever a sound that you wanted to do but couldn't do because you had to fit in to a specific genre?
At the very, very beginning, yeah, it was like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was lucky enough that my music was appreciated for what it used to be, and so it's almost never happened that one of the label asking me, hey, can you change this.
Mm-hmm.
Very lucky.
I was lucky probably about that, but you know, probably that's why I people know exactly, especially between 2004, 2010, I used to have that sound. And a lot of people say right after 8 kicks, I was like, this is many. You know, kick and bass was like, this is many. And this is actually, it's nice because you have your own style and it's nice.
I love that, yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I've lost this special touch. If I can call it that touch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And is everything changed, especially after COVID, but even before, the music scene, the style, the sounds, everything went, in my opinion, on the wrong direction for so many reasons.
Would you be willing to share some of those reasons, or do they fall into the reasons that we're going to be speaking about later?
The main reason, because till 2010, 12, there were lots of real producer. So my track will never be used to, was completely different from another producer,
right?
Which was completely different from another producer. We had the old generation of producer. We had our sound, our style. Then templates happened.
Few
people decided to sell their work to make easy money or whatever, and the result. Nowadays, and then the trends, the sounds all the same, and it's a fact.
People
saying that as well.
It's a fact, but Sean is still one of the producers that has his own style, amazing one, amazing. Sean can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
He proved that many times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to. In the last 2-3 years, I tried so many styles. For example, I do, this is something that Linnea, she doesn't even know, probably. I went straight to make some synthwave for famous streamers on Twitch that they asked me, can you make the intro?
Nice, very cool.
The soundtrack of during my live stream, and I went straight to synthwave, and it did work. I have so many requests about that, and then I started doing some progressive, even some techno. That's why I did open my own label for the dark side of melodic. The dark side of trance. You know what they call melodic techno. It's trance, but slower and dark.
Yeah,
sounds. I mean, nothing less or nothing more than this. Just to be original, just to do something not fresh, because the nowadays techno is absolutely what I used to play in the 90s.
Yeah,
exactly the same sound. But today they call it techno. Then now and the old time, the good old time, we called progressive, especially in Italy, this is a long story. This is another story.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's interesting because we were talking to Amanda Wilson just recently, and we were all agreeing that the industry, and this is not just obviously for producers, but for vocalists and writers, is the whole industry has become very diluted. Everything sounds kind of the same. There's none of these great artists, and we were, you know, we kind of came up in the 90s as well, and we remember people like, you know, Left Field. You know, when you would hear these amazing, you know, production teams, and you go, wow, that's just the most amazing track. And I rarely get that these days. I rarely get that feeling. And it's a shame. It's such a shame.
I see. I totally understand what you're saying. And I sadly agree with you, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, it depends. For example, talking about Linnea, you know, we worked together a couple of times already, and it was a success.
Yeah.
But not because I have to be honest. It's okay, the track is nice. Okay, you know, the arrangement, the sounds, and everything, the build up, and but if you put the wrong lyric, the wrong singer, even in a perfect track, the track the result is doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, of course, for our track, we were lucky to have Linnea because, in my opinion, Linnea has an amazing voice.
Thank you.
I think she does too.
But we got Tune of the Week on Acero Trance. It's
that's true.
Know,
yeah. Incredible.
I think you know. Wasn't a case, was it just like lucky or something? Because
we did good jobs, everybody involved. Yeah,
the lyric was special, the voice is amazing. Not every, you know, the big problem about the trance scene or just the music scene is it's saturated.
Yep,
we have too much, everything.
Yes,
but the too much doesn't mean that it's good. Not everything is good.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I can't sing. But guess what? The internet, the scene, the fact that we have 3 million, billions, even more, of labels that sign every track, even the bad one.
Mm.
So the quality is very low. But for example, tomorrow morning, I will wake up and say, okay, I want to sing a song. And just like, because I know that any of the 3 billion label is going to get my tracks with no problem.
Mm.
This is the problem. It's saturated. It's too much.
I know. I agree
too
with
much,
you.
It's exploding. Yeah. Everything is exploding. So sometimes it's harder to understand, maybe it's a wrong word, but it's hard to get what is really good and out of 3 billion tracks every time I get so many promos, vocals also, of course, and sometimes I say, why this vocalist, why this singer is doing trance? It's not his style. She's probably perfect for EDM. She's probably perfect for any other kind of rock, but trance is not for everyone.
Right,
it's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Yep,
absolutely.
And I was lucky to have the chance to work with Linnea two times.
I was lucky to work with you.
Times to superb track Butterflies. She wrote down us and wrote down an amazing lyric. Amazing.
No. I'm blushing.
She is amazing. She's amazing.
You're amazing as well.
She's one of the best. I'm sorry to say that sometimes is overrated. She deserves more, in my opinion. Mm. This is what I... And the good part about our... We don't speak very often like a super friends or whatever, but we have
that's respect true, that's true.
Every time I... Mm. A writer, she's always kind to answer, and I like this kind of respect and say that a two-way yeah, respect is fine.
Definitely, you know, respect, and respect, you know,
first of all, but it, you know, I know her, she knows me, so, and it's like, yeah, okay, you know,
it's but, friendship, you know.
No, friendship, yeah, I can say friendship, but yeah, yeah, at least it's a kind of, but every time I write her, she always answer me, and very easy. Some singers are like, hey, no, you have not this voice, it's a main voice, no. Like, hey, please, okay, see, yeah, I know who you are, but please talk to my manager, because, yeah, come on, man.
Yep, yeah. We spoke actually to Audrey in one of our interview, and she said that she prefers like the DJs going to her rather than manager.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because she feels like she wants to work with the producer straight up, and she wants to understand like what the producer kind of like wants, or, you know, have that conversation so you can connect together. Yeah. So I understand that part. I totally agree with Audrey also. It's if you want to work together with somebody, like the manager, that's just like another face, but you want to talk with the real person to understand, like, you know, what kind of person are we working with and the vibe, and, you know, just have a conversation. I think that's good.
Exactly. When I spoke to you, I sent you the track. Thomas sent you the track. It's like, hey, you like it? You want to?
Yeah.
Do you think we can do something amazing and special and unique? And she said yes. And then it's all about, you know, the last problem of a project, three heads of project, like me, Thomas, or me and Stun, Nea, and everything. It's the last problem is the money deal. I don't care. You can take everything. The only thing that I care the most is that we have to do something amazing that will be remembered forever. And, you know, this is the main goal for me, but it's me, for example.
I love that ethos. And I think that's one of the things that Linnea and I really share in our ethos about collaborations, if you will, in the industry is that it is relational. Because, I mean, I know this is going to sound like a really like dumb analogy, but it is kind of like birthing a child, because you're creating this child together.
Yeah.
And so there you go. That's how I view it anyway. So,
but that's why every time I went straight to Linnea, because we know each other. You know, I don't know personally a lot of singers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since the last weekend, the Luminosity, I met other mm-hmm. singers, mm-hmm. and I can tell you, they are amazing.
Yeah, so, I saw Susie Ledge. She's a legend.
Susie's amazing.
Yeah. Susie Ledge and Sue McLaren. Sue,
yeah, they're awesome.
Love her.
Is amazing. She's amazing. We, you know, she asking me about, hey, what happened? Because we went to, we had the same hotel. So when we came back from the party to the hotel, at the lobby, we had a chance to speak a little bit. And they are both very nice. So from last Sunday, now I met a person, not a project.
Right.
Yes.
Just a voice. Yeah. I have a, you know, a person in front of me.
Yeah.
So maybe next time I can ask Susie, hey, what do you think? Mm. So this is the kind of
relationship
I like the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this is amazing. So you know, Linnea knows me. You know me. Okay, that's fine. You want to work with me together? We want to work together. It's going to be special. I mean, it's easy. That's the big point. Easy. You know how many singers makes everything hard.
Okay.
And
yeah. Well, there's always several sides in the music industry. You know, vocalists also deal with like different sides and stuff. But it's really great when you find those persons or the kind of people that you work really great with and just create amazing music. And yeah. Everybody's on the same page in regards to the royalty splits and, you know, publishing splits. And like, you don't even have to have the discussions. Everybody's in with their heart and everybody's agreeing on, you know, splitting equally. And
equally, I love equally, those kind equally. Of relations. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Love it.
You know, it's a track with a singer, Linnea, me, and George Anstoni. Everywhere you go, you remember that, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. It was chemistry. Just like yeah. Everything worked perfectly. Everything.
Absolutely.
We're nothing wrong. We had zero problem, you know. As long as she sent the beautiful voice and beautiful lyrics and everything, we sent back the track after a couple of days, probably.
Yeah, like we always worked really quickly. We Done. Really did. Yeah.
And this is the best.
But let me tell you, it's not always like that. So, like, maybe there, I have some producers like, Linnea, where's that vocal? You know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, I know.
But sometimes it happens, and maybe it's because of the track overall that, in that moment, you feel really inspired, and boom, after 5 minutes, you wrote a vocal. But then you have other projects that takes longer time, and you know, life happens as well. You know, we are also humans, and you know, need to, you know, go to work and eat, you know, and what, whatever. So
you know what I think? If it doesn't work, like in 2 seconds, will never work.
Yeah.
This is yeah. exactly what I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Chemistry.
It's chemistry. Yeah. I totally agree.
It's like a wedding. It's like, you know, it's like a relationship.
It is. Yeah. It is a relationship. It is a relationship. Honestly, and I think that some people don't realize that, and they get so caught up in ego or greed, or you know, and yeah, and unfortunately, it's a very sad thing. It's the collaboration. If, as you say, if the chemistry works, it works.
Yeah.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. So, Manuel, which yep. software do you prefer to use for your music production? Is it Logic, Ableton?
Cubase. I will never, ever leave Cubase. It's so easy for me.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I did try everything. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, I did try everything. Especially my, you know, Astuni.
Yeah.
Every day, please try Ableton. It's easier, is very quick to learn, and no, I still go to Cubase. For me is everything, you know. Maybe all I'm right. lazy to learn something new. Probably maybe I'm too old. Probably.
Well, if you know like how to do things that way, then you know, stick to it because you're doing it really well.
No, everything is easier. Everything is easy when you use something, and you know it changed in the last 10 years, of course.
Yeah, yeah, 20 yeah.
20 years of completely, it's easier, but it's still, you know, so everything is so quick for me.
Right, boom, boom. And that makes sense.
Why I have to change for something that I have to learning from the beginning, and then maybe I will never learn. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah,
and it might slow you down. As well, because you're trying to,
yeah.
I hear that.
Yeah. I use Ableton myself, and I can admit, well, I used Cubase before, like in school. I used to study music, and then they gave us Cubase to, you know, work projects on or whatever. And it is, I agree, it's pretty simple. But yeah. Logic, on the other hand, I have no clue. I'm not a Mac user overall.
Logic.
So
I'm a Logic girl.
Logic is tough. It's very tough.
I think you have to be used to, you know, the Mac kind of way, and if you're not, then it's just like really difficult. All right. So, how long did it take you to become like really good at producing trance music?
I'm still. If I am. You want the honest one or you want the real one? What do you want?
We want the honest answer.
The honest one. I'm still learning. I'm not perfect.
Okay.
That's.
Are you pretty damn good? I have to say.
No, I'm not. Every day is a lesson for me. You know.
Every project You learn something new.
Every time. It's at the time, you know, the day you think you reached the top, you can only fall.
Yeah.
So I don't want to reach. Yeah. I don't want to call myself at the top. No, I'm not at the top. I'm still climbing.
Yeah.
Still. Every day is a lesson. Every day is something new. Every day. But like, it's a fact, because every day you have a new VST, a new sound bank, a new...
That's true.
Update yourself.
Yeah.
You know, every day something new. Something to learn, to try, to work, to train. So.
Yeah. Okay. So how old were you when you had your first release?
Oh, wow. it was a remix, first vinyl release we had, and it was 2001 probably.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, no, because I was born as a DJ and I never thought I would become a producer.
Ah, okay.
Never thought, and I still consider myself a DJ more than a producer. But yeah, it was really late, and was thanks to Astuni that actually kind of forced me to say, yeah, come to my house. It was with Reason. We used Reason to make our remix, and then we made a couple of tracks, and then after 2000 and... Oh, I don't even remember. My first single was 2005, Waterfall.
Okay.
Yeah. Season of Waterfall, the album. I have it's on my wall because...
Good reminder. I love that.
Waterfall, I was lucky. Very lucky that Tiesto played the track for 2 years everywhere. And it
amazing.
Was
amazing.
It was
what
my...
a goal.
Yeah. It was incredible. Well, everything was wow, really? You know, something that you do not expect at all. I was like, wow. So you seriously you like that track so much?
That's incredible. I love that. I really love that. So going into like your production side and everything, so every producer has a part of like their music production that feels harder to produce, you know, that could be like the bass line or like, you know, layering it up special kick to get that to sound really thick, maybe pluck melody, you know, doing that. So as a producer, what is the hardest challenge for you when you're producing a track?
I can tell you what is the easier.
Okay.
The easier and not using any template.
Yeah.
Boom.
Nice. Like,
boom.
Boom. So, mic drop.
Yeah. The hardest part is the kick and bass. It's not. Nowadays, at the beginning, it was really hard to find the right combination, the right kick, right bass, the bass line. Nowadays you see after 23 years of producing, I did learn a super lesson, especially nowadays, that people are trying to put in a track layers. But at the end of the day, the less is the better.
Sean Tyers said that as well.
Well, we were talking about that a couple of months ago or something. Mm-hmm. No, it's if you use one, if the one you use is perfectly equalized and worked, even with some other mixer with some other sounds, it's enough. It's already enough, and it's better. It's better, especially in a club. Because in a club, a huge sound system, imagine 5 layers of a lead.
You can only
hear high frequencies. You can't hear anything else.
Yeah.
There's a big noise, no? Mm-hmm. You know that?
Yeah.
And that's why probably techno nowadays. It's really simple because 2010, 2020 was all about VST. Yeah. 2020, today, the progressive music, like Hardbutt, like Camel Fat, they are back to hardware.
Yeah, they like the synths. Everybody's going like back to the synths.
Yeah. They
just have a problem at like a really small studio, so I can't have all the synths, you know.
They have one Moog, one Roland 909 on the drum machine.
Yeah.
That's on. That's it. On a bass line, I think with those, it's done.
Yeah, I think with the synths overall, like talking about Korg, for example, one of the big synths is that you can get a really good bass line with them that sounds really thick, you know, compared to a VST. Like as a producer myself, I feel like I'm struggling. Like my thing is bass lines. I struggle to get that depth of the bass line. And like trying out the synths and stuff, it feels like you have that depth already in there. So that's why I maybe think that people prefer going back to the synths, because you can get a much deeper sound and really clean sound as well.
Oh, exactly. And it's easier. Trust me, you know, I show you something.
Mm-hmm.
No, not what you think. MC 101.
Yeah.
New live stream. I can do techno with this. And that's
amazing.
You have baseline, you have the kick, you have of course the synth, but you know, preset. The preset are very, you know, poor, but you can add more stuff in it, and you can actually play with this.
Yeah.
You know,
incredible.
Now everything is easier, but I still prefer this one.
I agree.
To learn again a machine.
You know.
You know, the machine is like small, you know, how small it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, the book for learning is like this.
Yes. But you can bring that everywhere with you. So that's good. Like if you're on vacation and I don't know what, you can bring that with you.
Vacation, I'm not going to bring it.
No.
I miss back in the UK at a studio, and it was just racks of keyboards, great keyboards. And I miss that now. You know, everything's shrunk down into this tiny little cube. And, It's a sad thing for me. Get nostalgic when I think of back to these fantastic synths.
Yes, I think that the secret is hardware. Hardware is back, and it's a good thing. But still, the newcomer producers, they are focused on template or...
Yeah. Well, it takes, you know, many, many years of practice, you know.
Yeah, they want everything and like... Now,
yeah, exactly.
Do you think
we'll never tell you, oh, after 20, 23 years, 24 years, I'm still learning? They will never say,
yeah,
old school for life.
Yeah.
Do you think these templates also dilute talent in some way?
Do you really want to let me start with this?
Yeah, sure.
You know, no, the problem nowadays, and this is exactly why I did what I did last weekend. Talent, skill, what else? Love for music. The last thing that new generation of artists, they don't actually care, and this is a huge problem. What we have at the moment, we don't have persons, we have projects, something like it. You just need A social media manager. You just need how to say that? A look manager. How you call it? Image manager.
Image manager.
Okay, and a manager, a good manager, and a ghost producer, and you are the next superstar, I guess.
That's right. I totally agree. Yeah, that's what we see a lot out there.
What I hate the most. It's you know, when I did start, everything was, you were good because you were good. Because you had skill, you had, how to say that? You had connection with people.
Right.
And nowadays they just have 10,000 followers on Instagram and it's done. They don't care about skill or if someone deserves to be. No, you look good. Wow. Yeah. Can you just mix with you know, sync button and everything, and you just move. You can do that. It's fine.
Yeah. Me and Antonio have been talking about this kind of subject together and in private, to be honest. And we talked about, like, some labels, not all, obviously, but some labels out there, like, compared to before, it was more like they signed, like, really great music musicians out there. And they did really good job on supporting that kind of artist as well. Giving like full support, making sure like the release is, you know, getting out there and whatever, you know. And today what we see is that many labels, let's talk about the big labels, for example, they rather want to go on, let's say, TikTok, for example, to find somebody that looks good and could potentially, you know, be something. They see it as a quick sell, you know, like somebody that could sell something really quickly. So they choose to support that kind of artists. Let's say artists. I don't know if it's artists, but it's some kind of something.
At the end of the day, it's for the label is a business.
Yeah.
Of course they care.
Exactly. They care because they have to survive. But then if we look at the labels, right? So they have to survive. So they have to come up with something creative, find somebody who can sell a song or something, a show. But what like happens, you know, with like the background to this problem, where does it come from? Does it come from, you know, the streaming? You know, where like we hardly see any money, and yeah, exactly.
The time we live is everything is on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and everything.
Yeah,
you know, if it works on TikTok, it works on selling.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, we all know that Beatport. You can do whatever you want with. I can be the next number one. With my credit card, you know, everything. We all know how it works. It's not a secret, but what you can do about it? Nothing.
Yeah,
I think
what I hate the most, you know, the music industry is fine. It's fine. I don't complain. It was like this before. It is like it is right now, and it's going to be like it will be in the future. I don't care. The big problem is, the festival, the party, everything, which they kind of follow this train, and you know, I don't like it anymore. I don't get it anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you. I'm with you, and I think everybody's kind of seeing that at the moment, you know, and it's a shame, but. You know, a lot of people are seeing it and a lot of people are talking about it. So that means that maybe in the near future, things will change. Absolutely. Maybe not.
Maybe not. not. Probably not. Because after what, you know, after last weekend, I got a lot of messages like, oh, yeah, you had the balls to say that loud. Mm-hmm. Why you didn't do that? Mm-hmm. I don't want to be the start of a kind of revolution. No, it was, it's going to be like that in the next 10 years. Of course, I'm not going to change anything.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2007, when I did play Tomorrowland,
yeah,
I did play Tomorrowland because I Amazing. Did deserve to be there because I did work hard.
Yeah,
nobody has done my work. Nobody helped me out. Just me, hard work.
Yeah,
no and templates.
No templates, nothing, nothing at all. At the, right. the same way as when I played at the State of Trance. Right. That's the year before, I did remix a lot of classic, and I did produce so many original, and I got support from Armin. And actually, Armin, during one of a State of Trance live radio show, asked me live, why don't you... make a for fun remix of one of my tracks, Sail, and I did it. So that yes. year, if Armin called me to play and I was afraid one to re-stage, I did earn it.
Yes.
It wasn't a gift. It wasn't mm-hmm. a Santa Claus gift. Right.
Yeah.
Mm.
I
yeah.
did earn it.
You worked yeah. hard, really hard.
What I see when they announce a festival lineup, a friend of a friend, or the YouTube a YouTuber which is famous on YouTube or a ghosted artist so someone else makes his own music and everything is not real.
I know. Yep.
The funny part of well, we will talk about it later, but the messages
we will definitely deep dive into this.
No, because the messages I've got from by decision from last weekend, so was even from big names.
Yep.
Like, oh man, I'm sorry to hear that. I wish the best luck for whatever you're going to do to the future. I was like, I'm not leaving music. I will keep going. I have the label, I have the radio show, 800 sure. episodes. I'm not that crazy that I'm gonna quit my radio show right now. I have the Twitch stream, which is growing every week. My community is amazing. But I'm tired to see and to feel completely out of the trance family. Because festivals are run by the same agencies and the promoters are kind of forced to book the same names all the time. And so you can write whatever you want to me, but you are famous, you are the top. You've been at the top, you will be at the top, but you are part of the problem because you know me since many years and we respected for so many years. Every time I did support you, you did support me. We started almost at the same age. I did start way before, but you know, we came out in the trend scene at the same time.
Yeah.
But then you were okay, you grew up in a kind of god and whatever, but why when you do your own party, your events, why you never kill me?
Mm-hmm.
So why you say, oh yeah, I'm sorry to hear that? No, because you are part of the problem also.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to say that, but you are part of the problem also.
Yeah. So, and... this is one of the reasons, like I have my own record label as well, Auditor Recordings, and me and Orla Feeney, we were so sick and tired of, you know, seeing the same names on the poster and not the real Thailands. It was more about who could sell tickets, which I understand is really important, but they don't give anybody else a chance. So we created our own events, you know, we called it Auditory Taster, and we brought in artists that we think deserve to be there. People wants to see them, and it's been such a huge success, and I will continue doing it, supporting people I think work really hard, and that is something I want to see.
The main problem, something that killed the small club, the small promoters, and there was COVID killed everything. Because at the time, everything opened again. Of course, the big agency had to make money, had to bring back what they had to lose because of the COVID. So they make the rules, and it's a fact. It's a fact. I can be the best DJ in the world, but if at the very first place, who makes the rules, they kick you out. You can't do anything. You can't.
Makes the rules. Yeah.
And I say that. They sent me the message on Instagram. I was really polite, kind. I was like, thank you for your support. You were always nice to me. Always. Every time we see, we show respect to each other. We ask about life and everything. But you and your group and blah, 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 I never, ever felt part of the family. Period.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's exactly why I decided to, probably the next question is going to be this one. I decided to retire.
Well, we will definitely deep dive into this because I have some more questions.
This is exactly why I decided to retire from.
It's interesting because when you were talking about, you know, how the industry has kind of, well, what I heard did let you down, or the group, the clique, has not really kind of included you in the way that you had hoped. And you were also talking about the industry, how much it's changed. One of the things that we are trying to do here, the reason for this podcast and the reason why we're really like on a mission, if you will, to try and get the word out that things are failing, that the industry is failing, that people are, the people with talent are not getting the opportunity to actually actualize, excel, be up there, because it is so diluted out there. And also with these cliques, and I'm not going to mention any names, but these cliques, there's no room for newcomers. There's no room to showcase great talent because people miss it. And they're not also getting elevated up to where they need to be, getting, you know, put out there in front as they should be. And I think that's one of the things we're trying to kind of change.
It's not going to change.
And so that was my next point. And
first of all, I don't see any real upcoming talent.
Okay.
Just for the reason I told you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are all fake.
Right.
Ghost produced. But because they added me after last weekend announcement, yeah. They seems like I'm the new superhero. For no reason, but yeah, because the upcoming artists, they are all created or fake or not good enough to take the kingdom down, if you know what I mean. You know, they get DJs that they know they are not going to be better than them. They get a young one, something like, okay, you will do the warm up, and probably I don't know if I'm gonna to pay you because, you know, blah blah blah, and we'll pay the flight and everything, blah blah blah. And this, they are so young, they are going to say yes,
because
they don't pretend to be at the top after the gig. They hope to be at the top right after, but it's not going to happen.
Right.
For example, me, I never accepted to be the shadow of someone else.
Right.
I have to bright with my own light. And maybe this is the reason why they kicked me out from everything. Probably. Because I don't make... Because
you don't comply. That's why. You don't comply. And you take away... You have your own power. And I think that the clique often rely on the adoration of these little younger DJs who actually just they want to get there, they want to be popular, they want to be seen. But they're only, in my opinion, they're nothing more than a marketing tool for the people at the top. That's how I view it.
But of course, if you call someone that probably never played in front of a packed stage, and you tell him, okay, let's you do the warm up set. It doesn't matter whatever you do. First of all, warm up set of a big event is empty at the moment. It's just experience. But second of all, it can't be. It will never be better than the famous DJ. It's not popular the same way as a big DJ. It's not good. It doesn't have the skill to interact with people. You know, every time I do play, I have to be, people has to be part of me and me part of the people.
Love it.
Just like.
Nice.
You know.
Symbiotic.
Talking about chemistry. Everything.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Probably is not enough. You know, it's better to create a project. I don't like that. I don't like that. Not anymore. Not anymore. You know, what I saw last weekend it's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, we're going to go really deep into, you know, what happened with at Luminosity. So bear with me.